Hey, man, so good to see you guys. We didn't show you this. You may have seen this. This is for the kids. I was really excited about this. So all the parents said amen. Here you go. But I am just full of faith and excited here this morning. How are you guys doing here at 9 a.m.? Do you guys feel more sleepy? Are you guys awake? Or I mean, the early risers, you guys are the world changers, okay? I know we're not supposed to compete against the 11 o'clock, but, you know, we can tease, right? We can totally tease. But this is exciting, and I'm just feeling the Lord is going before us. And I just want to also just say that, you know, a lot of preparation has gone into this move to two services. It is a milestone for us as a church. It's a big deal. And it's a big deal because it's a big deal to God, and it's part of our faith story and stepping out. And I wanted to just say thank you for all the overwhelming support. You know, when you say two services and you make that plan, many pastors had warned, hey, be prepared for the resistance. And so we waited and we waited, and there really wasn't any, and there was just overwhelming support and encouragement, and I want to thank you for that. And I wanted to make a few special mentions. We have Wayne Crenshaw here, and he doesn't like to be pointed out, but he was here working and putting in the new person, you know, the visitor signs there, and we can give him a big hand for that. Flo Rodman coming in and doing the dishes. I mean, people were coming out of everywhere. And I want to also just honor David Lozier and Anthony, his grandson. They're cutting a driveway through there. They've been working very hard to cut a drive through there to make this possible and make this, you know, not a bottleneck of a driveway. So please, can we give them a hand for all the work going on in that? I wanted to thank David and the worship team for the extra time and effort they're putting in. They're doing a midweek practice, and so it's double duty. And so were we blessed this morning? I mean, I'm going to get a double portion of that, and I can't wait to get into worship again. So, and then last but not least, but you may have seen this awesome script of You Belong here. It's just everywhere. Everywhere you look, you're getting that message. And our very own Morgan Stevenson wrote that. Where is she? Morgan is somewhere working. Can we give her a big hand so she can hear wherever she is? I mean, isn't that cool? She's a terrific artist, and it's anointed. Art can be such an incredible way to touch people and glorify God. And so, very excited. You know, I really believe this is not just a practical step. This is a prophetic statement. And last week, I felt just a really confirmation as we had baptisms and just really celebrated the testimonies of what God was doing. But I got to stand in the back. I forced to sit in the front, and that's really hard because I want to see what's going on, you know, and I can't turn behind me and see. So, but I was in the back, and I could just see the people coming in. There were no more chairs. Okay. People were coming in and they weren't getting seated and all that stuff. And so there's a practical aspect to this, to making room, and you can look around, you can see an empty chair. You can see there's space. But I just felt the Lord saying, hey, I'm pleased with your yes. I'm pleased with stepping out and answering that call, that you would make room, you would make space for those that I want to bring into this community, for those that I want to save, those that I want to bring into the family of God that are far off. And we're doing that as a church. We're stepping out, and I feel that heaven's pleasure is on that. And there's an excitement in heaven as they're saying, see, my church is there taking that bold step. It's a sacrifice. There's a stretching there, but they're taking that bold step because it's not just about us, church. It's not just about us. It's about who God wants to enfold and who God wants to bring. And so I want to challenge us personally. If you just want to look at the seats, look at some empty seats around you, and we're not asking people to invite all of Bellingham, okay? Because we can't fit all of Bellingham. But I really believe that the Lord has people in our lives that he has called you a shining example, a shining bright light with Jesus inside you that he wants you to touch. And that goes right along with seeking the one. And just be prayerful. Say, Lord, who do you want us to enfold? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a family member. But who is that person? And the Holy Spirit will highlight somebody. And you'll be praying for them, and you'll be loving on them, and you'll be serving them. And if God is calling them to be a part of this, then the opportunity will come. Amen. And so that's what our aim is that God can bring more into the family of God. And there's a lot of churches in Bellingham. We're praying that all of them are just full, and that there's going to be so much space and so much room. And then the people of God are going to be so excited as we see harvest coming in. I'm also excited about this new series, You Belong, and I introed it on Vision Sunday, but we're going to get right into it, 5 weeks of You Belong, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, so you can go there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, and we'll be there the whole time, just looking at what God is doing in the church. And although the early church was not a perfect church, you can see that it wasn't a perfect situation in family and all that. And Paul had to deal in the letters, just some of the dysfunction and different things. Acts chapter 2 is a significant description that Luke has of the early church when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the church. Acts chapter 2 is very much like Genesis chapter 2. Original intent that God wants to see the church. He wants to see his people operate in. And there's this word used in Acts chapter 2, 42 called fellowship, which was the Greek word koinonia. And this word was this powerful word that was used, that Luke used, that represented this harmony, this fellowship, this unity, this self-sacrificing, this serving one another, that later on was defined, that word was defined that it was a unity that could only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that the world wants to find unity, but we cannot get along without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can get along for a second, we can rally, but there's not true unity unless it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? Hey, I just want to make sure you guys are awake this morning. 9 a.m. is awake. This is the most woke service, right? We're going to read in a second, they are sharing with one another. They are selling possessions. Nobody in their midst lacked. The Holy Spirit would highlight someone has a need. You know, we could try to do surveys. We could try to figure out who's got need in this place, and those are good things. But you know who does it better? The Holy Spirit will highlight and say, hey, so-and-so needs something. And when we're in prayer and when we're in obedience, it's like, hey, call so-and-so. That's the koinonia fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They were doing so much of giving and sharing and even unto death that there was martyrdom and persecution in the church that they were willingly giving up their life. The power of belonging is so strong. We desire to belong so strongly. And when the Lord connects us into that deep core need, then death doesn't even hold down that power and that message of belonging. And so the church is willingly giving up their life. And so as Rome is persecuting them and other cultures around them, they're seeing, and if you read church history, you see that they're starting to revere the church. There was an awe and a revering of the church as they saw them willingly giving up their life. There was a respect for the body of Christ because they saw these burning ones, the fellowship, and it was a testimony to Jesus. I just want to say that right now, the church, the state of the church, the culture is not exactly revering the church right now. There isn't that same sentiment, but I believe that's going to change. I believe that's going to change. Amen. That as we humble ourselves, as we take God at his word and we say, you know what, we're going to dig into this and we're going to make this faith real, that God's power is going to be displayed in our midst. People are going to be seeing the church in a whole new light. They're going to be seeing a mighty, mighty army of God. Amen? Come on, we believe that here in this place. So we're going to get into this three parts in this series because, you know, everybody wants to belong. I mean, you say belong, you see that, I want to belong, all these things. I mean, it just connects with us. It fills us with warm fuzzies. It's like, hey, our theme is you belong, and everyone's just like, woo, that feels good. But not everybody knows how to belong, myself included. We enter into this world with a fundamental issue of we don't totally know how to belong. And the Lord brings us in to a retraining of the mind and a discipleship. This is how you belong into the heart and family of God. And so three sections of this. The first one is you belong to the Lord. We're going to deal with salvation this morning. Just our foundation of who we are. And then the next 2 weeks is going to be we belong to the family of God. And we're going to talk about relationships, and that's going to get real interesting. It's going to get real. You belong to one another. And then the third thing is you belong to a call and a mission and evangelism, that all this is going somewhere that God has called us into. And so first off, you belong to the Lord. We're going to read Acts chapter 2 in 38. Let's do 38. 37. Okay. You guys ready? I got to make sure I'm on time this morning. Pray for me. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Okay, just real quick. After the Holy Spirit had fallen on the church in the upper room, poured out, Peter preaches an incredible message. After they're mocking him, he preaches Jesus. And it says that the people heard it and they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them. And we can go next here. And he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Amen. And I want to just go right back to 39. It says, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call." And right there, just explaining what's going on, is now salvation is not just for the Jews, but through the power of the Holy Spirit is now enfolding all the Gentiles, which is all of us, that it's going out and he's calling all people to himself. Amen. We've titled this message, "You Belong to the Lord." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You belong to the Lord." Did everybody hear that? Everybody get told? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. That's the power of your Holy Spirit is here. God, I pray that your word would penetrate. I pray right now, Lord, that it would transform us. I just thank you, Lord, that you're in our midst. You're going before us. I pray, Lord, that any need here represented would be met in faith, in your spirit. Thank you right now, Lord, that you're filling us up and give us, Lord, just incredible infilling of faith and power by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, the other day I was looking at pictures on my phone. It was actually Facebook, and they're just these memories. I don't know if you get these promptings every once in a while. It's like random, but you'll get like Facebook memories that'll come up. I like love and hate those things because you never know when they're gonna show up, and all of a sudden it shows up, and you're taking a stroll down memory lane, whether you like it or not. And so I'll send it usually to Beck and be like, "Oh my gosh, do you remember this time or whatever? It was 5 years ago," or I don't know how they do it. But it was the birth of Lior, and it had Justice there, and Lior is being born, and we're sitting there as a family, and we're looking at that. And then Eden sees this whole thing, and she begins to ask, "Well, where was I?" And I'm like, "Well, honey, you weren't born yet, you know, and you were on the way, you know." And she's like, "Well, where was I, you know?" And she starts to get a little more serious, And so I was like, well, you weren't born yet. And then she begins to cry. And she started to panic. And then I started to panic because she's asking, where was I? And I'm like, you weren't born yet. I don't know. I didn't say, I don't know. I was like, Lord, where was she? Like, kids have this ability to just like lay a cosmic question on you where you're like unprepared. And so I'm like, Lord, where was she? And I could just see the idea of not existing was a really terrifying reality. And I'm just like, Lord, what do I tell her? What do I say? And I all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just quickened Jeremiah 1:5 to me. And I was like, look, Eden, I gathered my thoughts and I said, before you were born, before you were formed in the womb, it says that God knew you. He knew you. And that's not it. That he set you apart. And that he appointed you for something. So you belonged to the Lord. You belong in the heart of God. And she began to think about that. And I said, and think about this. And then the Lord's going to set you apart. And he sent his son because we were also born into sin and into brokenness. But he made provision and he set you apart, which is sanctification. And that's not it, that he has appointed you, as he appointed Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations. He has appointed you to something. And here, church, we need to hear this as well. God has not only formed you, he knew you, but he also set you apart. And we're going to get into calling in the last 2 weeks, and I can't wait for that. And he has appointed you to something. And where you came from, your origin is so fundamental to who we are. And a lot of times we don't think about it, or sometimes we think about it, or it just hits us. But in the last few years, I've walked with some good friends that have had a family member die, or especially like having a father pass, where your father is a security and identity. It's an origin of where you came from. And when that has gone away, there's this instability and even just like this shaking of like, what was before that? Where did I come from? Or another situation where through hardship, where a family had to sell their childhood home. And they're in their adulthood and they had to sell this home that they grew up in and shared memories in. And the sense of belonging and origin was there, and that's taken away. Somebody else is living in the house now. And that question of, well, what was before? What was my origin? It's so foundational to who we are. But the Bible says that we've come from God himself, that we existed in the heart and mind of God. Before you were born, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. What a powerful thought. And I want to challenge us here this morning that a lot of us, depending on where we came, you may have come from affluence, you may have come from poverty, brokenness, whatever, that is not actually where you came from. You did not come from that. And maybe for a season, if you've come from a really stable place, that you derive your identity from that. But then things happen. Man, we live in a shaky time. And then you're like, oh, hold on. What I attach my identity to no longer is there. Or maybe you've come from a real broken area and you've been struggling with that your whole life. Many people, they're running from where they came from. But the truth is, we didn't come from those things. I want to challenge us to not think that that's where I came from, but that's what I've come through. I've come through this. Jesus says, came from Nazareth. And when the disciples said, hey, we think we found the Messiah, and they were talking to Nathanael, and Nathanael was like, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth was a hole. It was a pit. Jesus was born into a family that was not well off. He was born into scandal, but we know that Jesus didn't come from Nazareth. Jesus came from the throne of heaven. And he didn't define his identity by Nazareth or his environment. He defined his identity by what God said, amen? So you may have thought that you came from abuse or brokenness. That's not where you came from. That is what God has brought you through. You belong in the heart of God. That's your origin. That's who you are. That's what we're secure in. That's who God calls us to be, and we need to understand that in Jesus' name. After the reality of origin, then there's the reality of lordship. So if we've come from God, if God created us, if we existed in his heart and in his mind, and whatever that looked like, God will explain. But he says, before you were born, I knew you. Then there's the issue of lordship. And this is a tricky one. Because what's my responsibility to God if he is my Lord and he is my creator? To belong to, it means to be property of. So we're property, we're possessions of the Lord. And if you ever wonder why intelligent people don't want to acknowledge the existence of God, because there is this element here that we don't exactly want to acknowledge. Because if God is God, if he is Lord, then there's a responsibility to that, isn't there? Paul says in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel. Paul got it. I'm a bond servant. I'm the Lord's. I'm no longer my own. I'm in Christ. I have surrendered to him. He is my Lord. I'm no longer my own God. I'm not no longer my own originator. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That means that God has revealed himself in nature. He has revealed, and we have a choice to actually acknowledge that he is who he is, that he is the Lord, or we can shy away from that because of the lordship factor. And the Bible says, hey, that's not an excuse, actually. That's not an excuse. Just two nights ago with some friends, we were hiking up to Winchester Mountain. And it was beautiful. It was like we got there at sunset. It was a full moon, and we could see Baker. We could see Shuckson. The snow was there. It was like the Milky Way, shooting stars. The moon came up. I wasn't exaggerating. It was like incredible. You could see Canada. And I'm there, and I'm just like, how could you not look at this? You ever had that thought before? And I was talking to a buddy, and he's a director of art, or a creative director or whatever, really, really accomplished guy. And I'm like, hey, Christian, what, like, you're a designer. Like, how can you not look at this as a designer and know that there is an originator with this? Like, how can you look? He's like, oh man, I'm looking at color, I'm looking at depth, I'm looking at textures, I'm looking at all these things. And it's like, it's incredible. God is there revealing himself. But when you see that, when you see what he has done, when you see that he is Lord, there's a responsibility to that. Okay, you are Lord, so I have a responsibility. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were God's expensive purchase. I love this. This is in the Passion Translation. Paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are expensive. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you are expensive. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, Jesus was the ransom currency. He was the price. Jesus was the price. We were extremely expensive. God created us. He gave us a free will, but then to actually repossess our salvation, our future, it cost him. I don't know about you, but there's a different relationship I have with things that cost me something to things that didn't. Okay, I take care of those things. I watch over them. I steward those things. I garage those things. I shine those things. I adorn. I brag about them. Okay, if it costs you something, there's a difference. We were extremely costly. We were extremely expensive. There's a value on that. And sometimes we lose sight of that. And the way we live like there's no value at all. And God's like, oh, there was value. There was a price that was paid. It was Jesus on the cross that was paid for your salvation. God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And we walk with that confidence and that identity. The good news is, if you belong to the Lord is going to take care of you. Amen. That is the good news. That's on the other side of surrender. If I surrender to the Lord's lordship, then now my, what I think belongs to me belongs to the Lord. And so Jesus says, don't worry about all these things, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. See, consider the lilies of the fields, how he takes care of them. You know that the lilies weren't as expensive as you were? The lilies didn't cost Jesus on the cross, and he takes care of what belongs to him. But you were even more of a prized possession. How much more does he take care of you? And that I was meditating on this the other day. It was a couple weeks ago, and I woke up early, and it was like during the week, ready to get the kids to go to school and stuff. And I just felt like kind of like lead. Like I felt like I was really heavy. And I was like, man, I just was hard for me to get out of bed. Okay, I'll just be honest. Anybody have those mornings where it's like, whoa? And I was like, Lord, man, I kind of have a lot of burdens today and this week. And I'll just be honest, I don't feel like getting out of bed. And having this conversation, I was like, I just feel like for a moment I was able to forget about those burdens. And then now that my alarm just reminded me, hey, get up and get going again. And the Lord just spoke to me, and the Lord is so good with these one-liners, like just like, bam, hits you. He's like, those are not your burdens. Those burdens don't belong to you. And I was just so challenged by that. You were never meant to carry those burdens. You were never meant to try and muster up your own strength and your own power, but those belong to me. And it's not just grace or just God's going to help you along the way. No, he fully wants them. But will you give them to him? And I sat there just praying. I was like, Lord, okay, burden number one. Here you go. Here you go. Burden number two. Here you go. Three, four. Here you go. Man, I felt so much lighter. I felt so much lighter. Church, if you belong to the Lord, then everything belongs to him. Every anxiety, every burden, every predicament, we have to discipline and remind ourselves to just keep saying, Lord, because I belong to you, this belongs to you. Because I belong to this crisis, this issue, it belongs to you. You are fully Lord of my life, so fully be Lord of my life. Amen. And one final thing here this morning that I want to end on. Worship team can come up. And I want to end on this scripture. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Let me know when you're there. Paul says in Colossians, says in verse 1, chapter 3, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So he first says, set your heart on things above. On this reality, your salvation reality. And after you've set your heart, he says, set your mind on this salvation reality that you have died with Christ. You are now hidden with him in God. As we just end here this morning, I want everybody to set their mind on this reality that you belong to the Lord, that you are in Christ, in God. And I don't usually use props or anything in my messages, but I have this visual that I was so powerful, because your mind is such a powerful tool. And Paul knows that. So he's saying, I want you to get this picture in your mind. And for a second, just bear with me here. I want you to leave with this picture. Of your salvation. Okay? This is you. You guys ready? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Right there. This is Christ. The Bible says that you have been hidden in Christ. So you're getting right now just a clear picture of your salvation. As Paul says, set your mind on this. That you're hidden in Christ. But that's not all. You're hidden in Christ in God. So this is God right here. He's bigger than this. But you're starting to get the picture. Set your mind on your salvation reality, that you are hidden in Christ, in God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Not only your mind, but your heart. And I want you to think about this, as Paul says, to set your mind on this, to fix your mind and your heart on this, because guess what? Temptation comes and trials come. And if we don't have a salvation mindset, we start to think that God's distant. And we start crying out to God, saying, God, save me. Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And God says, this is actually the reality. You are so secure. And no matter what comes your way, this is your security in Christ, hidden in Christ, in God. And just as in 2 Kings 6:16 is one of my favorite scriptures, is Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the army. And Elisha sees in the spirit this mighty angel army. And he says, do not be afraid to his servant, because his servant is freaking out. And he says, there are more for us than against us. This is the reality. And then he prays, Lord, open up my servant's eyes so he can see. And he got to see just what God was doing in the spirit. I really pray this morning that the Lord wants to open up your spiritual eyes, that you set your heart and your mind on what it is to belong to the Lord, the security that you have into that. Because you know the one thing that doesn't belong to the Lord is your free will. That does not belong to the Lord. He has given that to you to choose. So you can choose life or you can choose death. And that's a scary thing. But this is reality, and we can choose to set our minds on the reality of our salvation, or we can let the enemy lie to us and try to deceive us, and we can say, oh no, God's forsaken us, or we're vulnerable, or all those things. Come on. God is bigger than that, and we are found in Him. And I just want to stand up here this morning as we close. And I pray that your faith is stirred this morning. I pray that your heart and your mind, like we get this in our spirit as we walk out of this place. And just everyone here in this place, I want to pray just this prayer that Elisha prayed. Lord, would you open up our eyes? Would you open up our eyes to the reality of your truth? That there are more for us than against us. That we have been hidden in Christ, in God. Therefore, we are overcomers. Therefore, there's the power to break chains. Therefore, we can go ahead into our week, into our future, victorious through what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. And I pray right now, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, if there's anyone that hasn't made that decision that you are Lord of their life, and acknowledge that right now, if that's you and you want to make that decision, I just want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and say, I want to make that decision here this morning. If there's anybody here, I want to make that decision here this morning. And if you're here and your faith is just, you've forgotten about that you are hidden in Christ, in God, I pray right now that your mind would be set in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. just as we close, I'd love to sing that new song, You're a Waymaker, and just declare to all principalities and powers the truth of who our God is. Amen. Amen.